Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. That is in the New in the Pew Bible, in the New Testament on page 78. Hear the good news. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the robe and the best one and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and celebrate. For the son of mine who was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked him what was going on. He replied, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. The father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours, who was dead and has come to life, he was lost and has been found. The word of God for the people of God.
Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This story is often called the story of the prodigal son parable. Sometimes I think it should be called brothers in conflict and dad caught between. And sometimes I think it should be called help me Jesus, my kids are driving me crazy. Wayne's present to the fathers of the church is to take all the youth away this week and take them up to Appalachian Service Project. So the fathers are saying, thank you, Wayne. Sibling conflict. It's as old as life. Adam and Eve, they're east of Eden now. They're exiles from the garden. Paradise is in the rearview mirror. And they have their children. First one born is Cain, and then Abel. Time passes. Cain and Abel become men. God shows partiality to Abel's sacrifices and finds them pleasing. And Cain's offerings he doesn't find as pleasing. And then Cain says, brother, let's go out in the fields. Brother, come on, let's go out in the fields. And Cain rises up against Abel and kills him. Abraham had two children, Ishmael and Isaac. And Ishmael is the one who's the oldest. He's supposed to receive the blessing, but it didn't turn out that way. It just didn't turn out that way. It didn't turn out like it's supposed to have been. And Ishmael becomes the outcast, and Isaac becomes the one, the youngest son of blessing. Isaac has two sons, and the oldest is Esau. And Esau is the one who's supposed to get the blessing, right? Esau's the oldest. He's supposed to get all the blessings, the spiritual blessings. But then, Isaac's own wife, Rebekah, conspires with her youngest son that she favors, Jacob, and conspires with Jacob to deceive the husband and the father, and to steal the blessing. And Esau's blessing that was rightfully his went to Jacob. Family's complicated, isn't it? Family's complicated. That's all we can say. It's just complicated. Jacob has 12 sons. And the oldest is Reuben. And the second to the youngest is Joseph. And Jacob favors Joseph. He gives Joseph a coat of many colors. I mean, it's splendid. It's all about clothes, isn't it? You know, one of these Sundays, I'm going to come in here all dressed in black. Tie black, shirt black. It's all about the fashion. Oh, wait a minute. Someone else already did that. But anyway, Joseph gets this coat of many colors, right? He has this coat of many colors, and the siblings are jealous. And they're like, well, you know, what can we do about this troublemaker? I know, let's kill him. And they think about that for a while. And then they go, well, you know, that kind of puts blood on our hands. And what do we get from that? Let's sell him. Let's sell him into Egypt. Isn't that such a warm family portrait? Such a warm family portrait. Siblings striving against siblings. It's an ancient story in the scriptures. And don't you just feel sorry for the parents? Can you imagine what Adam and Eve felt when they got the news and they found out that their oldest son killed their youngest son? Can you just imagine what that was like? Can you imagine what it was like for Abraham when Sarah's putting pressure on him to disown his oldest son, Ishmael? Can you imagine what that was like for him to send Ishmael out as an outcast? Can you just imagine? Can you imagine what it was like for Isaac? Here is his own wife deceiving him in a conspiracy with the youngest son. How's Esau supposed to live with that? How's Esau supposed to enjoy Mother's Day from now on? How's that supposed to turn out? I mean, that's just complicated stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of like it should be on Dr. Phil, right? That's just complicated stuff. Today is Father's Day, and family is complex. Everyone's is. I don't care how perfect your family looks in the portraits that you hang on the wall in your house. I don't care how great your pictures are on Facebook from your vacations in Trinidad or in Istanbul. I don't care which way it is. Family's complicated. My family's complicated. Your families are complicated. And the biblical portrait of families are complicated. Very complicated. Years ago, there was a song on the radio by Mike and the Mechanics, and it goes, every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustrations come beating on your door. Generational tension has always been and will always be. People say that parenthood is the toughest job that you'll ever love. Some days when I'm beating my head against the door frame, which is what I do often when I can't make sense of life, which is what happened to my hair. Some days when I'm beating my head against the door frame, I say, no, it's just the toughest job. It's just the toughest job. I also think that sometimes the story of the prodigal son should be called the story of the long-suffering father. The youngest son said to him, "Father, give me what will be mine someday." You hear the verb tense, right? It's futuristic. It doesn't belong to the youngest son. It's not his. It's the father's. It's not his until the father dies. And he says, give me what will be mine one day. And the father says, "Okay, son, if that's what you want." And he gives it to him. And the son goes off in the far country. We know the story. He goes off. He spends it all on prostitutes. He spends it all on wine and women and song. He's having a great old time. It's just wonderful. He's just having the best time until the money runs out. And then the money runs out. And then he's in the far country. And he can't provide for himself anymore. He's in the far country. He's forgotten who he is. He's forgotten whose he is. And he has forgotten who he belongs to. He has forgotten his people. It is so bad that he's now eating pig slop. And you know a good Jewish person would never do that. He's in the far country. He's not only forgotten his father, he's forgotten that he's a Jew. And there he is in the far country. And he comes to it. And the miracle of this is not that he went out into the far country and squandered everything. We are not surprised at all by that. What is absolutely amazing is that he comes to himself. What is absolutely amazing is he comes to himself and then he remembers who he is. He remembers whose he is. And he's ashamed. And he starts rehearsing. He says, "I'm going to go back to my own people. I'm going to go back to my father." And he starts rehearsing the speech. And he says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven. And I have sinned before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. Treat me like the hired help." Now, the action of this parable begins with the father and ends with the father. And the father sees his son from far off. He sees his son from far off and he runs to him. He runs to his son, and the son doesn't even have time to give out the speech that he's rehearsed so well. He runs to his father. I mean, his father runs to him and embraces him and hugs him and holds him. There's such a great scene in the chapel at Montreat College, the chapel of the prodigal son. Have you seen that fresco? It is powerful. And if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. And there is that image. And there's the son, and he is in tattered clothes. He is skin and bones. There is nothing to him. And there's the father, regally dressed. And we know the story. The father starts giving out orders. And the father says, go get the finest coat we've got and bring it out here and put it on him. And go get the ring and put it on his fingers and put the sandals on his feet. The father is not treating him like a hired hand. The father is restoring him to the household. How powerful that is. The father is restoring him to the household. Now, the oldest son, we know the story. He's out in the fields and he's sulking. Word has gotten to him. He knows what's going on, and he's not only sulking, he's angry. He's so incredibly angry. And the irony of this is that by Jewish law, the father couldn't just do what he wanted to do with his estate. By Jewish law, the oldest son got 2/3 of the estate. By Jewish law, the oldest son got 2/3 of the estate. And so there is the oldest son. He's angry. He's in the field. And the action is with the father. The father sees him. The father comes out to him. And the father says, "Come on inside." and enjoy the party. We've killed the fatted calf. My son that was dead is now home. My son who was dead is now back alive. My son who forgot who he was has now remembered who he was and whose he was. Come on and join the party. And the oldest son says, and listen to the words, that son of yours went out into the far country and squandered all of this. And you kill the fatted calf when he comes home. And I've faithfully served you. I have served you my whole life long. I've never bucked your authority. And you can't even give me and my friends a goat? Hear that anger. Hear that anger. And then hear the father's words. As he looked on his oldest son with nothing but love, and he looked on his oldest son and he said, son, everything I have is yours. And now hear the words. That brother of yours that was lost has now come home. The father is restoring and healing the relationship between the siblings. That brother of yours that was lost has now come home. It is so very powerful. And you know why the parable offended the Pharisees. It was not missed on them that they were cast as the oldest brother. And you know, sometimes we in our lives, we're like the prodigals, aren't we? Sometimes in our lives, we're squandering all the things that God gives us. All the things that we could be using in working for God's kingdom. We're squandering our gifts. We're squandering our talents. Right? We're having a good time at the lake. Or we're going off, you know, I don't know, to Las Vegas. Well, I'm a Methodist preacher. I don't get out much. I don't really know where people go. But yeah, I'd say Las Vegas. They're going off to Las Vegas. They're going off to places like that. They're squandering their talents when they could be making a difference for God's kingdom. Sometimes we're like the prodigal son. And you know, sometimes we're like the Pharisees. Sometimes we're like the oldest brother. And there we are. We're indignant. We're indignant when somebody gets away with something that we don't think they should get away with. We're indignant when somebody doesn't follow the rules and they don't get punished. We're indignant when someone sneaks in someplace they shouldn't have done. We're just absolutely outraged. They didn't follow the rules. We're so indignant. We never stop and actually think, you know, I haven't walked in their shoes. I haven't been through what they're going through. I haven't experienced what they're experiencing. All we think about is, oh, they didn't follow the rules and I did, and they're getting rewarded and I'm not. How come? How could that be fair? How could that be fair? Make them pay for their sins. Make them pay for their sins. Sure, feed the prodigal son when he comes back, but give him some stale bread and some old rice. Don't kill the fatted calf. Make him pay for his sins. But not the father. Not the father at all. You know, he sees his sons, and he sees his sons that he has loved his whole life long. And he sees how the youngest son has loved too freely, right? And he sees how the oldest son has loved too miserly. He sees how the youngest son has lived a squandering life. And he sees how the oldest son hadn't even really lived, right? Father sees it all. He absolutely sees it all. And yet he loves them. He loves them with a love that is true. He loves them with a love that is pure. The Father loves them. Scott Stapp of the rock group Creed wrote a song when he found out that his wife was pregnant. with their first child. And the lyrics of the song go, I'll show you love. I'll show you everything. With arms wide open. If I had just one wish and only one demand, I hope that he's not like me. I hope that he can understand that he can take this life and hold it by the hand, and he can greet this world with arms wide open. The long-suffering father embraces not just the prodigal son, but also the oldest son, with arms wide open, just as the Heavenly Father embraces us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we confess those times that we have loved like a miser. We confess those times that we have not loved open-heartedly. Father, we confess those times that we've been filled with anger and we've been filled with judgment. We confess those times that we've been condescending. We confess those times when we have not loved with our heart and with our arms wide open. On this day, we ask you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, and transform us. Transform us by the power of this story. Transform us by the power of your grace. Let us be the people that you've called us to be. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.